Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Sandra Boynton's The Going to Bed Book is a classic board book for infants, toddlers, and preschoolers, first published in the early 1980s and still widely used as a bedtime read aloud. The book presents a group of friendly animal characters living together on a boat as they move through the end of the day bathing, putting on pajamas, brushing teeth, briefly exercising, turning out the light, and rocking to sleep on the sea. Its genre is early childhood picture book, but its practical purpose is closely tied to routine formation. Rather than offering a plot with conflict or lesson-driven explanation, it turns a nightly sequence into a rhythmic, humorous performance. Boynton uses short rhyming lines, repeated sounds, and rounded cartoon animals to make ordinary bedtime tasks feel predictable and communal. The result is a compact book designed less for one-time reading than for repeated participation between caregiver and child. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a floating bedtime setting turns routine into a small shared world. The book is built around a simple but distinctive setting, a group of animals preparing for sleep aboard a boat. This choice gives the bedtime routine a contained stage. The characters are not scattered across separate bedrooms or homes. They move together through the same spaces, going below deck, washing, dressing, brushing, going back up, and eventually settling down as the boat rocks on the water. For very young children, this spatial clarity matters because it makes the sequence easy to follow without requiring complex narrative comprehension. The boat also gives the ending a natural calming device. The rocking motion of the sea becomes part of the transition into sleep, connecting the physical world of the story with the soothing motion that many children associate with being carried, rocked, or gently settled. Boynton uses the setting economically. It is not developed as an adventure or voyage, but as a compact environment where bedtime actions can unfold in order. This helps the book avoid becoming a general animal story and makes it specifically a bedtime book. The sea, moon, and enclosed vessel create a quiet frame around otherwise lively behavior, balancing playfulness with closure. Secondly, the bath-to-bed sequence models hygiene through predictable action. The central structure of the Going to Bed book is a recognizable bedtime routine. The animals bathe together, use soap, dry off, put on pajamas, brush their teeth, and prepare for sleep. These actions are ordinary, but the book makes them socially and rhythmically engaging. For toddlers, routines often work best when they are predictable and embodied. The book presents each task as something that happens next, not as a command or moral instruction. This distinction is important. Children encounter hygiene habits as part of a playful pattern rather than as adult-imposed obligations. The shared tub, towels, pajamas, and toothbrushes simplify domestic routines into memorable images. The sequence is not a realistic manual, since the communal animal world is intentionally comic, but it reinforces the order and texture of bedtime preparation. The brief exercise scene after toothbrushing is one of the book's most memorable deviations from ordinary routine. It interrupts the expected wind down with a silly burst of motion, which reflects Boynton's comic sensibility. Rather than weakening the routine, the oddity makes the sequence more memorable. Children often remember routines through distinctive moments, and this unexpected step gives the book a playful signature. Thirdly, rhyme and repetition invite toddlers to participate before they can read. Boynton's language is designed for oral performance. The lines are short, the rhymes are clear, and the repeated action words make the text easy for children to anticipate. This is central to the book's usefulness for pre-readers. A toddler does not need to decode, print to join in. The child can supply sounds, imitate actions, or predict the next step after repeated readings. The verbal patterning turns the adult reader into a performer and the child into a participant. Repetition also supports memory. Bedtime books are often read many times, and the Going to Bed book benefits from that repetition because its pleasure depends less on surprise than on recognition. The sound patterns are concrete, tied to washing, brushing, and rocking, so they reinforce physical actions rather than floating as abstract rhyme. This makes the book especially effective for shared reading at a very young age, when rhythm and sound often matter more than plot. The language is deliberately economical, which can seem too slight for older children, but that brevity suits the developmental moment it serves. It gives caregivers a text that can be completed quickly while still feeling complete. Fourthly, Boynton's animal illustrations use humor without overwhelming the page. The visual style of the Going to Bed book reflects Sandra Boynton's broader approach to board books' rounded animal figures, expressive but simple faces, uncluttered compositions, and comic physical arrangements. The animals are recognizable enough to invite naming and pointing, yet stylized enough to avoid demanding close visual analysis. This balance is useful for infants and toddlers, who often respond to bold shapes, repeated characters, and clear gestures. The illustrations do not merely decorate the text, they clarify group action. Children can see that the animals are bathing, dressing, brushing, exercising, and settling down, which supports comprehension even when the words are not fully understood. The humor is largely visual, as well as verbal. A crowd of animals moving through human bedtime tasks is inherently funny, especially because the book treats the absurdity as normal. The simplicity of the art may disappoint readers who prefer elaborate picture book spreads, but it is well suited to the board book form. At this age level, too much detail can distract from the main action. Boynton's restraint keeps attention on sequence, expression, and participation, which are the book's main priorities. Lastly, the board book format supports repetition, durability, and caregiver pacing. The going-to-bed book works partly because it is physically and structurally matched to its audience. As a board book, it can withstand handling by babies and toddlers, including page turning that is not gentle or linear. The sturdy format encourages children to treat the book as an object they can explore, not only as something controlled by adults. Its short length also gives caregivers practical flexibility. It can be read when a child is already tired, used as one piece of a longer bedtime routine, or repeated without consuming much time. The pacing is brisk, which is a strength for children who enjoy rhythm and motion, though it may not be ideal for children who need an especially slow transition to sleep. The energetic animal antics can feel more playful than tranquil until the final lines settle into darkness, moonlight, sea, and rocking. This tension is part of the book's identity. It does not function like a hushed lullaby from the first page. Instead, it gathers the day's remaining energy, organizes it into routine, and then directs it toward rest. Caregivers can adjust reading speed and tone to make it livelier or calmer. In conclusion, the Going to Bed book is best suited for babies, toddlers, preschoolers, and adults who want a very short read aloud that can become part of a nightly pattern. Its practical benefit is routine reinforcement. Children hear and see familiar bedtime tasks in a stable order, which can make bathing, pajamas, toothbrushing, and lights out feel less arbitrary. Its intellectual value for early childhood is modest but real. And it builds prediction, sound awareness, action vocabulary, and shared attention through rhyme and repetition. Compared with many bedtime picture books, it stands out because it is not primarily sentimental or dreamy. Boynton adds a comic group of animals, a boat setting, and a surprising burst of exercise before the final descent into sleep. That mixture gives the book more bounce than a traditional lullaby, while still ending with a quiet rocking image. Readers seeking a detailed story, elaborate artwork, or a long calming meditation may find it too brief. For its intended category, however, brevity is part of the design. It is durable, memorable, easy to recite, and highly repeatable, which are the qualities that often matter most in a board book used night after night. If you would like to support Sandra Boynton, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.